I'm a big believer that experience teaches. My goal with this show is to have guests to share their experience so that they can tell you what it's like, what they did right, and what they did wrong. And I'm going to share the same. Look, I'm not trying to regurgitate stuff you can find on the internet. I'm going to tell you how it really is and what it's really like to own your own place.
This is the National Restaurant Owners Podcast with your host, Kyle and Sarah.
Look, everyone knows how difficult it's been for restaurants these last few years, right? And as an owner, you and your staff have been working harder than ever. Often that means trying to meet the demands of in-person hospitality can be extremely demanding. That's why I'm recommending to you Pop Menu Answering. Pop Menu Answering turns every restaurant phone call into an opportunity. It uses artificial intelligence to answer the simple questions that are tying up your phone lines. Like, can I make a reservation? Where are you guys located? Do you have parking? And over 50% of restaurant guests who call in are happy to have their questions answered by an automated system. Within the Pop Menu platform, you can customize answers for your restaurant and choose the voice your guests hear and even send follow-up links via text message. Pop Menu Answering picks up your phone 24/7, 365, allowing you and your team to focus on what matters most. And because you're a listener of this program, you can prevent lost customers and impress your guests with Pop Menu Answering and at the same time get $100 off your first month and lock in an unchanging monthly rate. All you need to do is go to popmenu.com/owners. You're going to get your $100 off the first month. You're going to learn all about what they have going on there and some other tools that you may be interested in. popmenu.com/owners. Welcome back to the National Restaurant Owners Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle and Sarah, and this is the number one and fastest growing podcast for independent restaurant owners in the country. So say that all the time, mean it all the time. You love the confidence, right? Just lead with the confidence. But I genuinely believe that. You got to believe in yourself. If you don't believe it, nobody else is going to believe it. So, and I say that because I feel like on the show, we provide actionable advice. Things that you can actually say, holy shit, I can use this in my business like this afternoon, tonight. Today is a solo episode. Been a couple more of these this year. I had promised that in the beginning of the year, so living up to my promise. And this one is, man, I am pumped for this one because it is about your real estate. Obviously, the title is indicative of that, right? Never lease a shitty restaurant space because there's no need to. There's no need to. If you guys signed a shitty lease in a shitty location, it's your fault. So let's not do that again. And actually, let's help each other never do that again by sharing this episode would be great. So your real estate, and I say that not because I want you to share the episode, although that would be great because it's good for ratings, et cetera. But the goal of the show has always been to help raise the success rate of restaurants in this country. And your real estate is such a big piece of that. This could help somebody from making a horrible, horrible, horrible decision. So let's get into it. You know, the location is, like I just alluded to previously, is more important than your menu. It's more important than your service, your hospitality, your drinks. It's the one thing that you cannot change, right? Now, you know, quote unquote, recession is happening and people are tightening up their wallets, et cetera. You can't change your rent. You have to change something else, right? So it's important to have a lease that makes sense for your business and a location that gives you the best opportunity to succeed. A lot of you guys, because I hear it all day long, will be like, hey, I saw a space that's available. Or do you have any second gen spaces that I could see? That's a good place to start, right? Second gen infrastructure, et cetera. We'll get into that. But you got to take into consideration so many other factors. Things like the visibility, the accessibility, the competition in the market, the demographics of the neighborhood, parking. And the purpose of this episode is just to quickly walk you through the leasing process and help you understand. We did a little bit with the lease coach a while back, but this is a little bit more tactical and covers things other than just negotiating a lease. So let's dive in. And I will say that in the show notes is a copy of the ebook that outlines this entire thing. So you guys can download that for yourselves and you can have it and use it as a playbook to get started. So let's get into where we get started. Now, identifying a location and signing a lease eventually, it takes a while. It's not like signing an apartment lease. It is time consuming. And for those of you who are still hands-on your operations, I think you need to realize that you're going to have to pull yourself out of your operations because this is a time-consuming process. And again, hopefully you're using a broker. We'll touch on that later. But if you're not, even if you are, it's going to eat up your time significantly. So this, I would budget 6 months to a year. I know. But 6 months to a year is realistic. So keep that in mind. Now, on a few of the other episodes, and if you follow me on TikTok or Instagram, I talk about the business plan. It's so important. And I know so many of you guys are anti-business plan or just like, oh shit, man. I gotta write a business plan. I don't wanna pay anybody, I don't wanna do it. But taking the time to think through the details of your concept it's gonna help you understand the requirements of the type of real estate your business needs. Now, does that sound like I just read it? I just did. That's the line I have in the book. And it just says it perfectly. You're going to take the time. You're going to sit down. And you're actually going to say, hey, okay, this is my concept. If this is a startup, right? This is my concept. This is how much space I need. And get as detailed as possible. Because understanding all those little nuances, the square footage, these are the type of customers I want. This is how I'm going to structure my menu. This is how I'm going to structure my service. That is going to guide your decision-making process. Plus, if you're dealing with any kind of investors, this is going to show them that you know your shit and you're not just blindly looking for restaurant spaces all across the market. So get as detailed as possible. The type of concept you have, your menu, add on any other unique factors you have that are specific to your concept will ultimately decide where you open and the type of infrastructure you have. For example, if you are a drive-in concept, right, or drive-up concept, you are not going to want to be downtown, right? It's just not realistic. You're going to have to look someplace else. But if you're a bar restaurant and you do a lot of lunch business and happy hour business, well, then downtown near the businesses and where people live is probably a great location. So that's your business plan. If you need a copy of the one-page business plan template, that is also in the show notes. Just giving it all away. Always. So now in that business plan, obviously you're going to have your budget, meaning how much you think you can do in sales. And we've touched on this before. Everything is a function of your sales, including your rent. So a clear understanding of what you can afford will help you eliminate things that you cannot afford. Okay, I'm not saying you shouldn't look a little bit beyond that, but the reality is you don't want to spend too much time. It's already going to take 6 months to a year. Why waste your time on things that are never going to pan out? So time is the valuable thing here, and the right broker will save you that time. It's, you know, when you're looking at something that may be slightly outside your comfort zone and what you could afford, you know, maybe it's worth a shot, right? But that's only you can determine. But something that is significantly outside your budget on a startup, or even I've seen the mistake made. We made this mistake with my restaurant. We took a bigger space with a higher rent because we're like, wow, this is a better neighborhood. We're going to do more business. It panned out, right, for a while. But eventually, if you don't maintain those sales to keep that rent, you know, 8.5% or below, you're going to be in trouble. So now that you have your budget, going kind of quick here, But let's just keep it moving because the ebook is here. You guys can download it and check it out. I'm getting out of breath reading. I'm getting so excited. All right, so how much space do you need? How much space do you actually need? You need to understand that bigger is not always better, right? We've learned that the last year or so, last 2 years or so, rather. So take the time to figure out how much space you actually need. Rent is always calculated on a per square foot basis. So if you're off, right, if you wind up having some space that you're not using, dead space, or it's just too big for what you thought you needed because you were stupid and didn't plan it out, or you just jumped into it and weren't being thoughtful, it's going to cost you thousands of dollars a year. All right. You cannot afford that. And if you don't know, I don't know how many square feet I need space for this and 50 seats and, you know, my smoker or whatever it is, go to another concept and measure it. Take out your little phone and measure it, or ask the manager, hey, how big is this space? And see how they're using it. You guys with me? Or am I getting too fired up? The last thing you ever want to do is pay for space that you're not going to use. So now you have the size of your space. You got your business plan. You've estimated your sales, right? You have an idea what you're going to do in sales. I like, people always say 6 to 10%. If you can get 6%, fantastic. 10%, I think, is outrageously high. You know, there's some concepts where it would work. High volume concepts where it does work. I think 8.5% is your sweet spot. You know, anything above that, you're going to have to cut somewhere else. You're going to be cutting payroll. You're going to be cutting cost of goods. You're going to be cutting services. You're going to be cutting staff, all of which could potentially impact the guest experience, which is the last thing you want to do. So how do you figure that out? Well, I'm glad you asked. In the book, there's a formula there, and it's your annual rent times 100 divided by 8.5. So your rent, if they say, hey, I know a lot of these guys will say, hey, it's $5,000 a month, 60 grand a year. And your target rent is 8.5%. At 8.5% rent, you need to do just over $700,000 a year to make this a viable location. All right, does that make sense? If you can do $1 million, great. You just found yourself a deal. But dig into it. Like, why aren't there other restaurants competing for that space, maybe, right? Or if it is hyper competitive, you know, you got something on your hands there, right? So that's, the rent is good, the location's good, and maybe it's time to make a move. But, you know, that's all done prior to what is ultimately the most important piece to me, which is the gut feeling. What does it feel like when I go to the space? Do I actually like being here? Do I get a vibe for the people in the area while I'm here? Does it fit my concept? If this is your, you know, you're adding another unit to your existing concept, you'll know the feeling. You'll know the feeling you're chasing, rather. Excuse me. You got to go there. You know, there's a lot of technology now. We use a lot of technology here at Zelnick. And it's, you know, things like Google Maps have made life very easy to look at a space and say, oh, yeah, that's a great location. You can zoom in. You can check down the block. You might even be able to go around the back. You can see the co-tenants. But there's nothing that's going to replace the gut feeling. I mean, that aside the fact, I'm getting so jacked up about this. You got to get inside. You want to get inside the space. So I know some guys will shoot over virtual tours, but again, you got to get in there. The floorboards might be loose. You might see something leaking. They're not going to, I don't care. And no virtual tour is going to show you or give you the experience of going there. But here's a little pro tip. When you're there and you're in the space, take the pictures. Take all the pictures, take all the video, and either on a notes app on your phone or the old school pen and paper, write down everything, because you're not going to remember everything, especially if you're seeing multiple spaces. And when you get home, upload them to Google Drive. Save them as 123 Main Street, all the pictures, all your notes. And that will save you a ton of time in the process. Because people are going to say, what did you think of that one? Like, which one was that again? Was that the one with the bad parking, with the but the good build out? You're not going to remember. So just trust me on that. Save them in there and you'll have your memory thanks to Google. A lot of help from Google in the real estate market. And while you're there, of course, things you got to check out. Five things. Foot traffic. Are there people there walking around? Parking. Where am I guess going to park? Is it my lot? Do I share the lot? Is it municipal lot? Is it meters? Where does the garbage go? If you follow me on any of those platforms, again, I am very big on finding out where the garbage goes, because if you have to drag garbage through your dining room in the middle of service, that is a nightmare. And what else is in the area? Offices, universities, what's the density, right? What do the cars look like? Are they high-end cars? Are they pickup trucks? Are they, you know, middle of the road? Whatever it is, it all matters, right? It's all part of your gut feeling. And go back multiple times. Go during the day, go at night, go on the weekends, go on the weekdays, different times of the day. Unless you're strictly a lunch concept, go there for lunch every day and just sit there, see what it's like. If the restaurant's open, even better, right? You'll see, hey, no one's coming into this restaurant. Maybe it's an operational thing, but everyone's going into these other places. They're all packed. And of course, the opposite could be true too, in which case you might have a concern there. All right. Moving right along, as they say. So now you've identified what you're looking for. You've toured some sites. What else do you need to know? Right? Like, what else is going to help drive the decision here? Well, the best way to get any kind of insight is to talk to the previous owner. And I think we all know that's not, A, always possible. Right? They're not there. They don't want to. They're pissed off. They're closing their restaurant. I don't want to talk to you. You talk to the landlord. Got it, pal. You can always talk to neighbors. Get their feedback, right? You're not doing anything wrong. You're trying to make a business decision. But if you can talk to the other owner, the previous owner, you know, they've been the eyes and ears, ideally, right? We know some absentee owners, but they've been the eyes and ears of the business. And they'll give you the valuable insight that you're going to be looking for that a broker or a website or a flyer can't give you. So ask as many questions as you want. I have a whole list of them here that I would ask. And if they don't want to tell you, I would take that as a negative answer, sort of a red flag, as the kids say. But if you can get all your questions answered, that's a great sign. And again, save them to your Google Notes and it'll help you out in the process. So there's about 10 here that I would ask. You can check them out in the book. But just a little side note here, because I'm trying to make this a quick episode. Ask them how their relationship was with their landlord. Because you're probably not going to meet the landlord till later on in the process. That's a big one, especially during the COVID times. How did they handle you during the whole rent situation during the COVID times? It's, you know, getting that information is leverage for you. So as you've identified these sites and you've decided, okay, these are the couple sites that I really like, things like these questions will make or break your decision, right? If all three are equal, you've seen 10 sites, three of them, you're like, man, gosh, I can't pick one. You know, one's better than the next, I think, or they're all equal. What's going to drive you to say, I'm going to go with this one? To me, talked about this with Chef Jensen the other day. We actually have some merch coming out about it. It's the landlord. What are they like? to do business with. They're going to be your fucking partner, whether you like it or not. They are your partner. Do you want to date them? Do you want to spend any amount of time with them at all? Do you get a good vibe for them? You know, if you couldn't get an answer from the previous tenant, you got to go on gut. You got to go on questions that you ask. And ultimately, if you get a good feeling, that's, to me, should drive the decision. We were saying the other day on Chef Jensen's show, Best Served podcast, by the way, that the three L's of real estate used to be location, location, location. That kitschy bullshit is over. It's landlord, lease, and location. That's it. Those are the three things. Landlord, lease, and location. I mean, ghost kitchens have proven that location is not that important, right? Depending on your concept, of course. But it's just not all about location anymore. So keep that in mind. Now, you have figured out which, let's just play the game here, right? You found the site. You submitted your LOI. Either you did, your lawyer did, your broker did. Now it's time to negotiate the space. No, some people, oh God, you know, oh, I hate negotiating. And their tendency is to split the difference. Oh, it's this much. Oh, you're asking this, you're asking $20? Oh, I thought it was more like 10. Let's just settle at 15. No. Well, how do you know 15 is the number? Maybe 9 is the number. Maybe you were too high. So here's what you need to prepare. A, that Google Drive is going to come in very handy right now. All your questions, your pictures, anything you saw that might look off, anything that looks questionable, anything you have a question about that you couldn't get answered, you have it all there in your notes, so you're prepared. And in addition to having your business plan, you probably got some of the stuff together already if it's an additional location, or if not, if it's your first location, there's some things that you have to get together in order to be considered a serious tenant. Everyone always gets a little like, do I really have to share that? Yes. Yeah, because do you think the landlord wants to invest and spend time with somebody who doesn't have any money or hasn't proven themselves as a business? So four things you need to prepare for. The balance sheet. Get your accountant to prepare it. Or if this is your first restaurant, even if you're not, the landlord might also want it to be a personal financial statement too. So balance sheet and or personal financial statement, bank statements for all of your accounts for 3 months, tax returns for 3 years, and a credit report. Not from Credit Karma or anything like that, but a big three credit report. I think there's three, right? Yeah, three. Experian's a good one, TransUnion, Equifax. Recent. Okay. You're also going to want to, you know, let them know that, hey, I'm serious. So if you don't have this stuff together, which, you know, you should have really started getting it together with the business plans, so you should have some of it. You cannot take like a week to get it together, because that just tells the landlord, like, what the hell's up with these guys? They can't get their financials together. Aren't they looking at them? Like, well, how are you guys running your business if you can't get your financials together in a very, you know, 48 hours max? So keep that in mind. And understand what type of lease you're going to be in. There's two main types of leases. There's a gross lease and a net lease. With a gross lease, you're paying a flat monthly rent. Right. I mean, it increases every year, most likely, but or at some point during the lease. But it includes everything. So if it's 5,000, it's 5,000. Most of the time you'll see a modified gross sometimes, where it'll be like, well, it's, you know, on a per square foot basis, $25 a month, but it's $3 a month for taxes. And then the insurance and everything are included in the base rent. That's a modified gross. So there's actually three. I didn't put modified gross in the book just to confuse. That would be confusing. But gross and and net are the two that we generally deal with. And a net lease, you pay that base rent. So let's say $25 a square foot. But then there'll be something called triple nets or you know, NNN you'll see on some paperwork. Those are additional fees per square foot for things like insurance, taxes, and common area maintenance. You cannot negotiate those. You cannot negotiate CAM. You cannot negotiate triple nets. Can't negotiate CAM either, usually, most likely. but let's touch on that. Yes, you are paying for the insurance and taxes on the property, or you're paying your pro rata share if you're in a shopping center, meaning shopping center is 100,000 square feet. You're paying for your 2,000 square feet of that total. Taxes are taxes. And common area maintenance is the cost of the landlord to maintain whatever, the parking lot, the landscaping, security features, light bulbs, the expenses of running the property. You know, some landlords will lump it in. You know, it's really kind of a personal preference on a lot of these things, but just make sure you're clear on what type it is. But I think what's important to really understand are a couple of points that really, there's so much to negotiating, right? But there's four main points that I would say to keep in mind. And I'll dig into a little further in the book. But you're in this to win, right? You're a restaurant person. You've got a competitiveness to you. You're an entrepreneur. And if you don't have this, you got to develop this muscle because it's not going to be easy. But you're in this to win it. So being armed with the facts, the market knowledge, the facts of the property that you've diligently pursued and recorded, you prepared your financials, you have a business plan, you've got leverage. You have got leverage. So don't be meek about it. And don't be an asshole, but don't be meek, right? You say be stern, but be fair. I always say when it comes to the leasing process and negotiating, ask for everything. Ask for fucking everything. Again, you don't have to be a jerk about it, but say, hey, I know you're saying that the rent is $25 a square foot and the triple nets are 10, so we're $35 a square foot. I know that you also said it's 2.5% increases every year. Is there any way we can maybe negotiate either one of those two just so I know that we're going to be successful, right? It's a tough climate right now, and I want to get you a fair number, but I don't know about, I think ultimately I got to be below 30. And as I'm looking at my projections, I think 2% each year is more than fair. And I've done some market research, and that seems to be what's common in the market. Now, that's just a question, right? You can ask that. Even the meekest person on the planet can ask that. So ask for everything. You know, hey, would you be willing to, notice the parking lot's a little beat up. Would you be willing to pave that, repave that? Have you given that any consideration? Things like that. No? Okay. Nothing's finalized until you sign the lease. So if he says no or she says no, you got to determine if that's important to you or not. So ask for everything. And never, the third piece, don't be too eager. Do not speak to the landlord or the landlord's broker like, oh my God, I love this place. I can just see, I'm going to put this over here. I'm going to hang this painting over here. The kitchen's going to go there. Oh, that's great. I'm going to keep that. I love this area. I mean, this area. Do not talk any nonsense like that. Play it cool. Your goal here and the goal of this book is to help you make a non-emotional decision. You're not trying to fall in love with the space or gush over every inch of the property because you feel like you're vibing with the landlord. This is a business decision. And again, if it goes back to being the one thing you can't change, then it's pretty serious, right? So be business-like, okay? Do you imagine any executive going into a negotiation acting like that? The answer is no. The answer is no, unless there's somebody who's got real juice and can, you know, do whatever they want. But the reality is you're making a very large investment into their property. Make sure everything's in order for you, because the last thing that you need to remember is that you need to be willing to walk away. You cannot fall in love with a space. There's always going to be another opportunity. And if there's something, I talked to a guy the other day, Eric Wang, on the last show from Pecking House. He walked from a lease because the landlord wouldn't pay for the sprinklers in the basement. Now that's a hefty expense, but he walked and ultimately found another space. So it's a large investment. Unless you got the money to burn and throw away, you got to be willing to walk away. Even if that just means for a little while. You want to create some real, you know, build up some, you know, anticipation. Go silent for a little while. And keep your cool. Always keep your cool throughout this process. Some of us, me included, can get a little emotional about these things, right? Particularly when it's your own space. Even with my client space, I hate to see them get pushed around. I know what's at stake. When they say something to you that's maybe like, yeah, no, we can't do that. It is what it is. Inside, you're probably like, I'm gonna kill this guy. I don't give a shit about you. Or is that just me? Whatever it is, I would say, you know what? Let's hold on that for a second. Let me think about it. We'll get back to it. That's a professional. You know what? They could just be playing chess with you, seeing where you're at. So again, if they push you a little bit, just say, you know what? I'm going to need to think about that. I wasn't anticipating that. So let me think about that and let's continue here. That's a big piece. That is a big piece. Keep your cool and tell them you just need to think about it. So, a little bit presumptuous in some of this stuff, but people always say, where am I going to find a rec? Or they're asking me, right? I'm a broker. So they ask me, what do you got for me? What do you got any spaces? What's going on? But if you're not using a broker, which would be ridiculous of you to do, okay, they don't cost you anything. And the right broker can get you the best deal and can be like a part of your team. But if you're looking at it on your own, realize this. Those signs you see on vacant spaces, restaurant for lease, call this number, you know, Instagram, whatever, text. Those signs are put there by the landlord's broker. They're not there to help you. They are there to protect the interests of the landlord. And yes, they also get paid when they transact. So they want to be cordial and nice. But at the end of the day, they're not all great people, right? Not just brokers, but anybody. Get your own representation. They might know that person. They most likely, if they transact in the market, they know them. They have a relationship. Could save you time. Could save you energy. You know, they have insight that you don't have. So use a broker. But if you're going to go about it on your own, stay away from sites like LoopNet, Craigslist. I say stay away, but they're good for collecting data, right? They give you an idea of what's going on, what people are asking for, what's kind of available. But again, a lot of that stuff are landlord brokers that are looking for tenants to fill the space, obviously, and brokers like me to reach out because I represent mainly tenants. It's just something where you have two professionals talking. Right? It's going to save you a lot of time. So look for a broker. If you need help finding a broker, reach out to me at Kyle and Sarah on Instagram. I can, in most markets, find you a restaurant-specific broker, right? Definitely all the major markets. And stay away from, it's going to piss some people off, but whatever. Resimercial brokers. I said it. Commercial brokers, real ones who specialize in a niche, don't go and handle residential transactions. Maybe their own. Maybe. But we're using a broker in our house search. I'm not doing it. I don't live in that world. So if they don't live in the world, they're just out of the loop. They're not bad people, but it's just, you know, I'm sure a plumber could fix the floorboards if they're you know, busting up on a deck. But that's not what they do, right? So you stick with what they do. And if people do restaurants and commercial real estate, then that's who you should talk to. I know I can hear everybody saying, you know, of course he was going to say that. But this process is going to take you 6 months or more. You want somebody by your side who's trustworthy and knows the market and knows what you're talking about. So make sure that they have the time to dedicate to your search. Ideally, they've come to your place before, or, you know, that they're vibing with your concept that you're thinking of. But at the end of the day, hire a broker. And that's it. That's the entire process. In 36 minutes and 39 seconds. But the book, Never Lease a Shitty Restaurant Space, you can find it below. Download it. And if you have any questions, reach out to me at Kyle and Sarah on Instagram. You can comment here on this video. That would be great. A couple of you guys have popped by to see it, which is awesome. And if you just out and out want to chat, there is a link to a free 15-minute consultation also in the show notes. So that's it, guys. Never lease a shitty restaurant space. Don't make it emotional. Be willing to walk away. Arm yourself with the details, and I think you'll be all right. All right, guys. Thanks for checking out the show, and I'll be in touch, or you'll be in touch. We'll connect one way or the other. All right, guys. Have a great day.